Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Ira Speaker and his son Steve. Good morning to you, Ira.
Good morning, Devon.
And Steve, you're there also, ready for a great morning.
Thank you. Good morning to you, too.
Yes. Now, the first thing we need to talk about, Ira, is when and where you were born.
Well, back in 1916, after a long, hot summer, I and I were entered into this world on September the 4th.
We were born
on a home in called Maple Lawn Farm.
And that was near Messina?
Well, it's located about 6 miles from Messina.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually in Victoria Township, and the exact location would be about a mile from the Adams County line on the east side, and on the south of us was Adair County, and that was about 3 miles. So we're right on the corner of Cass County.
That's right, right in the corner. Now, you mentioned you and Ida were born on September 4th, 1916. Tell us just a little bit about Ida.
Well, we kind of entered the world, you know, on the large side, because she weighed 10 pounds and I weighed and a half. So we were pretty healthy and started a long road ahead of us.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we shared a lot of time together, you know, going through the grade school together. She was always good at spelling, and her handwriting was much better than mine, but I could do better kind of come to the arithmetic and the history subjects. So we had a lot of time, you know, being able to play together and challenge each other. We did a lot of sewing projects that Mother had us involved with, but she didn't take any place in my outside games with when we played robbers or bandits or scalping the Indians.
Ira, tell us a little more about your sewing. Both of you had to sew, but you actually got a quilt done. Tell us a little more about how you started doing the quilting.
Well, Ida and I came home from school with one of these cards that got punched holes in and a bunch of string, and you're supposed to thread through the holes to form a picture. Mother thought that's kind of a waste of time, I guess, because she got a piece of cloth out and drew designs on and started Ida and I to embroidery. And we made enough little blocks to make a quilt for Grandma. And Grandma took that to the county fair, and she got a prize for it. So that spurred us on doing a lot more quilting.
Right, and you used one of those into your married life. It's a great story. And I understand, Ira, that sewing ability was put to work when you were in the service also.
Yes, right. At least I could sew my stripes on and mend, darn my socks and help sewing if I needed something done. So,
and the other guys wanted you to do it too because they couldn't do it. They didn't have a good mother like yours to teach them how to do that. So I really want to skip on that. You know, this is the season for people putting up their Christmas trees, whether they're real or artificial. But tell us about your experience when you were a young boy related to Christmas trees.
Well, I don't remember we ever having a Christmas tree when we were small. And we just really didn't grow Christmas trees around there. It's kind of hard to find. I do remember going to a couple of church services and seeing when they put the real candles on the tree and light them. And that's always pretty spectacular. But I think that got started by the insurance company didn't like this fire hazard that occurred in that one. I remember some of the first aluminum Christmas trees that came out. They had to be kind of, and then of course they had electric lights for that, but they were always pretty large, and you couldn't have those lights on the tree then, but so they had a bulb, a little light, I guess, flashlight or something like that cartoon of the tree, and it kind of rotated and gave different colors to the tree as time went on.
Mm-hmm. Somebody always inventing something new to take care of that color. Now, Ira, I want to mention that on the cover of your book that you have written, the words stand out: soil, debris, and city. And the total title is From Iowa Soil Through Atomic Debris and to Furniture City. And yes, and so I want to skip ahead here because you have such great stories to tell, and I want to skip ahead to telling us about the relationship with the atomic debris. How did you have experiences related to the atomic debris?
Well, I was selected to go on atomic tests, and I was a monitor, which we carried around instruments to find out what the intensity of the radiation was. And we were supposed to go in and protect the scientist or the fellow who was performing an experiment. We were to keep him from being overexposed and or to pick up and bring back a contaminated item, and also to monitor him after he left, that he wasn't containing any radiating product himself. So,
but you were exposed to a great deal of that atomic radiation. Is that correct?
Well, of course, we were feeling bad, so we didn't get too much. But of course, my biggest one was when I was about a ground from ground zero and experienced some of the fallout from the tree where I got my enough that kept me from being monitored the rest of that time.
I think that was good. Let's talk a little bit about meeting Wanda, your wife.
Well, that was while I was stationed at Camp Pendleton, California. I guess it all got involved with basically in the golf course there. She and her friend played golf in the golf course, and it was not too far from our where they had the bachelor officers' quarters, where they had a place to eat, and they stopped. The nurses stopped there after their game to get something to eat before they went home, I guess. And a couple of my friends were going to nurses, and we met, I guess, either on a golf course. And she later invited me to what they call a Mexican hat dance one night. And I guess that all got started in a Romanite affair, dating her then, okay?
And you have lots of stories in your book about Wanda also. I want to mention in your book that you have the titles of each of the sections listed in the front. And I really like it because I can go in and read one story and it doesn't take very long. Then I can move on to another story. It's a wonderful way to get through your book.
Yeah.
Now, after you were out of the service, of course, you had to find employment, and you were employed as a hospital engineer. Tell me about being a hospital engineer.
Well, a hospital engineer basically is kind of like having a small city. You have all kind of facilities to take care of, you know, from the dining room to the parking lots to the building itself. And so basically an engineer was to see that all this is safe operated, the various electrical checks is made so the equipment worked properly, and rooms repainted if necessary, so and the grass is mowed up front, so it kind of kept you busy knowing what's going to happen next sometimes.
Yes, a little bit of everything, it seems to me. And, you know, I don't think about what does a hospital engineer do. We just sort of take those things for granted. But somebody like you had to do that. And the hospital you were in was located in Grand Rapids, Michigan, correct?
Well, my first hospital was in Ames, Iowa, at Mary Greeley Hospital there. And I thought we'd probably be there for the rest of our life, but the hospital was city-owned, and they got a new city manager, and he decided he was going to run the hospital. the board resigned, and the rest of us fled.
Moved on.
So I wound up being in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, well, that's great. Now, Ira, some people will want to get your book, and everybody should read it because it's just so enjoyable. So how do we get your book? Either Ira or Steve, would you answer that question, please?
Yep, this is Steve. Right now, they can go on eBay and look up from Iowa Soil, and they can find it on there. And either that or through the eBay, they can also send us a message as well. But it's available on eBay at this point.
Okay, great. And I want to say thank you to both of you, Ira and Steve, for helping us get to visit with you there in Michigan. And I also want to say, as we turn this program off, we get to the end, I want to quote from your book near the end, Ira, that says, "Here we are, another new year. What will it bring? There will be changes, but what will these changes do? How will they affect the nation, our lifestyle, and us individually?" Thank you so much.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas, too.